Open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. We're going to read the first 8 verses. So if you'll stand with me, I'll read the first, you read the second, we'll stop when we finish the 8th. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up.
A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance.
A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away.
A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak.
A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity this day for us to gather together in your name and study your word. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give, and by your Holy Spirit, take the word of God and apply it to every heart here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. The wisest man probably that ever lived was Solomon. And he learned an awful lot. It's amazing how much you can study and not get complete control of a subject. But this man did. He studied, and he was very wise. And in one way, it seems like it made him sort of depressed. The more he studied, and I've sort of found that in my life, the more I study, sometimes the more depressed I can get. You ever go to college? High school's bad enough, isn't it? No, it's a good thing to learn. It's a good thing to understand things that are going on, but you can't understand it all. I don't care how much you study, you'll never get to that pinnacle, that place that you need to be. Here he is, and he's talking about seasons and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to do certain things. You know, sometime in your life, you've done things at the wrong time. It'd have been all right if you'd have done it another time, but you messed up because you did it at the wrong time, right? Well, there is a time for everything. I remember as I was reading this, it talked about casting away stones and gathering stones. When I went in the Air Force in 1955, before most of you discovered America, we were just grunts. They shaved our head, gave us clothes that didn't fit and shoes that didn't fit, and they marched us to do various things all the time. Stupid things. And I remember they had this one field with a bunch of rocks. And on one day we went and took all the rocks on this field and we carried them to another field and we spread out the rocks. And the next day we went back to the field where we spread the rocks and we picked up all the rocks and went back over and put them back where we got them in the first place. I'm thinking, stupid. You know, what am I doing? How did I get into this? You know what they were doing? They were breaking my will. They did a lot of other things. I know, I have a friend that used to work at a car manufacturing plant. The first day he got hired, they took him out and showed him these new, brand new fenders to go on a car, gave him a sledgehammer and told him to beat them to pieces. That makes sense to you? Doesn't to me, but they were breaking his will. You know what they wanted? They wanted you to do what they told you to do. And by the way, if you're in the Army or you're in the Air Force, the Navy, it might be the life of the whole crew for you to be obedient. So they need to break your will. You're not so smart that you can be the boss of everything. There's a time for everything. My wife loved puzzles. And we bought 13 acres out in the hill country, and it's just covered with rocks. All kinds and shapes of rocks. Now, I don't have sidewalks like normal people have sidewalks. My wife, over those years, went out with her little wagon. I bought her a little red wagon. And she went out with her wagon and she picked up rocks, flat rocks, shaped all sorts of different things, and then she spread them out. And she laid out her sidewalk. And then she began to put them in there. I've got some beautiful sidewalks. They're just rocks. She loved the puzzle. I've got pictures of her standing out there and just looking, trying to find the rock to fit in a perfect place, you know? And she loved her puzzle. Now, that would drive me absolutely nuts. To me, I'd get me a couple of two-by-fours about 4 feet wide and pour cement. But I wouldn't take for my sidewalks. They were built beautiful, and they were built by somebody who loved it and loved the puzzle and wanted everything to fit just right. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything, it says here. Under every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, the thing I want to think about today and talk to you about is the time to die. Because I think that's really one of our most important times. You need to be prepared. Now, I'll tell you for sure, you're going to die. I don't care if you're 15 years old or you're 7 years old now or you're 78 like me. There's a time to die. And you're going to die, and what's going to happen is you're going to meet God after you die. That's why it's so important. Now, most of us, you're young people, you don't think about dying. When I was a young person, old people died. My grandma Kincaid died when I was about 10. She was 70-something. When I was in the basic training in the Air Force, my mother's mother died, and they let me out to go to the funeral. And she was 70-something, 80 years old. I didn't think about me dying. I didn't think about me dying. I was a refueling man in the Air Force. I refueled all kinds of planes. And in fact, if you had gasoline on that base, it came through us, the outfit that I worked for. I'm 20 years old, and I'm still not worried about dying. And a friend of mine from Tennessee was called to take a run I was supposed to take, but I had an appointment, and I'd been working hard all day. Waved at him. He's filling up the big 1,000-gallon tank down at the ground power unit. We're all on a pickup going off there, the flight line. Waved at him. Just a few minutes after I waved at him, that thing blew up. And I realized a 20-year-old can die. You know that? Now, I'll tell you what. They've got a story or two on television right now. One of them is a little girl who's got cancer, and she's just got days. 4 years old. And it's a sympathetic thing. But little kids die, too. There's a time for everything. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. This smart man, this very, very smart man, told you about life has all these things in it. Now, you may not like that. Every once in a while, somebody is complaining to me about their particular situation at the time. And I imagine that every one of us could give us some reason to complain today. Everybody. And yet, all it is life. Did you know all these things that he mentioned there? You're going to do them all. You're not going to get out of it. They're going to come your way. If everything's going your way this week, hang on, next week's coming. It's called life. And in life, you have all of these different opportunities and these advantages and these discouragements and these pains. You got a time to die. If you look with me, go back to 1 Kings chapter 22. Actually, one of my favorite stories. It's about Ahab. Now, Ahab was just a wicked king of Israel. And Ahab, I'll just start reading it, verse chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours. And we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said, Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. You got two people here. Jehoshaphat's a pretty good king. He's a pretty good guy. He's not too bright. But he's a real good guy. And his family is intermarrying with Ahab's family. How would you like a wife that was the daughter of Jezebel? Would that be a good match? You ever heard of Jezebel? Do you know anything about Jezebel? She made Ahab worse. I don't think I'd want her daughter for a daughter-in-law. You know, bless your heart, I don't care how sweet you two are, you got family. And you can't choose them. And bless your hearts, in-laws can cause you as much trouble as outlaws. True. My daddy told me, said, son, while you're dating these little girls, they're so pretty and they're so sweet, take a real good look at their mother. I think my daddy was a wise man. Here is Jehoshaphat, a pretty good guy. But he wants to be around this big tough guy, Ahab. Ahab was a man's man. Ahab was a tough man. He was a soldier in battle. He was brave. But he just was wicked. Did things for himself. Didn't worry about Naboth's rights or Naboth's vineyards or what the Lord's word said about what he ought to do about it. And those two, they get together. And to me, I see this as Jehoshaphat wanting to suck up to Ahab. At any rate, Ahab says, will you go battle with me to get back Ramoth and Gilead? That's actually our people there. And they are now under the control of the king of Syria. Will you go to battle with me to get that back? And Jehoshaphat said, yeah, I mean, my people are your people. Well, that's the truth. They were all Israel. And my horses are your horses. One horse is as good as another, I guess. Almost. He said, but here's the thing. Would you inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today? Jehoshaphat had enough sense to say, I want to know what the word of the Lord says. I want to know what God thinks about this. And Ahab said, sure, we'll do that. And so he rounded up 400 preachers. 400 prophets. And he said, will you bless me? Will the Lord allow me to go take Ramoth Gilead? And all 400 were in agreement. How do you get 400 preachers in agreement? But he did. All 400 said, go up. God's going to bless it. God's going to give it to you. But you know, old Jehoshaphat, he was used to good preaching. Some of y'all don't know good preaching from bad preaching, but Jehoshaphat was used to good preaching, and he heard all this bad preaching from these 400 guys, and he think, they don't sound kosher to me. They just don't sound right. He said, you don't have one of those old fundamental preachers around, do you? Yeah, I got one. His name's Micaiah. But I hate him. Because every time he prophesies against me. And I don't know, Jehoshaphat said, well, let's wait on him. Let's see what he has to say. So one of the preacher's messengers went out to God and get Micaiah and said, of course Micaiah wasn't invited in the first to this meeting. But they get him, and when they tell him, said, look, now we're all in agreement. Won't you be in agreement with us? We're all in agreement. We're telling the king, go up, God's going to bless you. Micaiah said, I'll say what the Lord tells me to say. And so they bring in Micaiah, and they ask him. Ahab asked him, Micaiah, I want to go up and take Ramoth back in Gilead. What do you think about it? What is the Lord going to say? Go up. God's going to bless it. God's just going to take care of you. You're going to come back great. And even Ahab, you read this story. It's a beautiful story. Even Ahab said, don't lie to me. You never preach good to me. And I know you're lying to me right now. I've told you so many times, tell me the truth, Micaiah. And Micaiah said, you're going to die. You're going to fall. He said, you know, up in heaven, they were having a little meeting. And God says, how can I get Ahab to go get killed in Ramoth Gilead? And one said this, and one said that. And then the Spirit says, I will. What do? I'll put a lying spirit in all of his preachers. And they'll get him to go. He'll go up to Ramoth Gilead. That's where he's going to go. You see, God had promised him 20 years before he was going to kill him for what he did to Naboth, for his sins. And he promised him. He's going to get him. And boy, one of those leader of those 400 preachers went up and hit Micaiah in the mouth. Pow. Where'd the Spirit of God go when he left me? When he came to you? He's saying, I'm the one with the Spirit of God. Micaiah says, I'm the one with the Spirit of God. You're wrong. You know something? People don't like to be shown up. They don't like to be called liars, even if they're a liar. Liars don't like to be called liars. It's just about like you and I, we don't like people messing with our sins, do we? We don't like people messing with our lust. If the Super Bowl is on tonight, will you come to church or will you watch the Super Bowl? See, lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God, and that's got a lot of believers. Amen?
Right, amen.
Anyway, Ahab said, take him to my son and put him in the bread of affliction, the water of affliction, till I come back in peace. And Micaiah, here's a beautiful statement. If you come back at all, God didn't speak by me. Let me tell you something. Ahab's come to a place where it's a time to die. It's his time to die. So, here's Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and of course Ahab thinking he can fool God. Do you think you can fool God? Do you dress up for God? I think that's hypocrisy. I don't dress up for God. I dress up for people. I don't dress up for God. God sees me. He sees more of me than I want to see. He said, Jehoshaphat, I'll tell you what, we're going to go out here. And you wear your kingly robes. And I'll dress up just like a soldier. Jehoshaphat agreed. Again, I'm telling you, the guy's not bright. He's a nice guy. He did good things. But he's just not bright. He puts on his kingly robes. And Ahab puts on an archer's armor. Gets in their chariots. And they ride out there. And of course, the guy from Syria said, let me tell you what. Don't fight with anybody but the king, Ahab. I just want Ahab. And so his 31 captains ride out there and they see Jehoshaphat. They don't know who, what Ahab looks like. They see this guy in a florid, beautiful chariot and all these kingly robes to show who he is. And they all drop everything and chase him. Now what does Jehoshaphat do? No, no, I'm not Ahab. No, no, no. He cries out and runs. Well, that ain't Ahab. So they let him go. He got off. Lucky guy. Because he was set up to be the one that was shot. And Ahab's over here laughing. Look at that. I fooled him. Yeah, I really did. I fooled him. And the Bible in this story, you read it. It says an archer drew a bow at a venture. There's a bunch of them over there that ought to hit somebody. And let it go. And Ahab's thinking, I fooled God. I fooled God. I fooled God. He didn't fool God anymore. The arrow struck him in between the harness. He started bleeding and he tells, take me out. I'm wounded. And they take him back in the chariot and he dies and the dogs lick his blood from the chariot, just like God said, like Elijah said 20 years before. What happened? It was Ahab's turn to die. You can put on whatever clothes you want. You can put on anything you think you can to deceive God, but you're not going to fool God. Have you ever got that figured out? You know, the problem is you really don't believe God is who he is. You don't believe God can do what he says he can do. You don't believe God knows everything. You know, you think because the lights are out, nobody sees you. God sees just as well in the dark as he does in the light. You can't fool God. You cannot put anything over on him. All he has to do is say, well, an archer over here, pull it right there. He'll guide that arrow just where it ought to be. Now, Jehoshaphat got out, and he got out lucky. And he was a blessed man much of his life, as I said, though not too bright. He did some good things. But his going and wanting to be a partner with Ahab is just foolish. And for his children, their children to marry, that's even more foolish. Boy, you don't want some daughter of Jezebel. Not for your wife. Not for your daughter-in-law. Not for your granddaughter-in-law. No, you don't. Now, look, if you will, in Hebrews 9:27. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. Here's a tremendous verse. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment. What is God's appointment? Once to die. Now you know that whenever you get up and grow up in life, maybe the little children don't recognize it, don't think about it, whatever. But you know that. You're old enough. You know everybody dies and you're going to die too. We've buried several sweet people recently. Right out of our congregation. They were older. Yes, they were. Praise the Lord. They had good long lives and that's what you like. But I tell you, that's not always the way it is. Children die. 20-year-olds die. When they were building the Colosseum, a friend of mine lived a couple of streets over. He and I were good friends. He was working and building right out of high school. That Coliseum out there, it's long, I guess it's gone now. They've got the new ones that built afterwards. He fell from the roof. 18 years old. Worked all his life. He was a kid and his parents taught him to work. Had another buddy. He joined the Navy. Got stationed in Corpus Christi. Got him a great big Indian motorcycle. You probably don't know what they're... Oh, they're coming back. Somebody bought the name, I guess. Indian motorcycle. Oh, it was a beauty. And he would ride back and forth from Corpus to San Antonio to come back up and have fun with his friends. Till he died on that motorcycle. About 18, 19 years old. They do die. They do die. Young people do die. When my buddy died in Roswell, New Mexico on my run and my truck, wow, it woke me up. You know what I said? 20-year-olds can die. It says right here in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men to die, but after that's the judgment. I have an appointment with death, but let me tell you, I don't care if you're 15 years old, you have an appointment with death. I don't know when it'll be. It might be when you're 15, it might be when you're 40, it might be when you're 70 or 80 or 90. George Beverly Shea recently died at 104. Wow. He lived to be 104. It's appointed unto men once to die. That's an appointment you'll keep. Some of you like to get out of bad appointments. Appointments you don't like and don't want and don't want to face. Well, here's an appointment you can't get out of. Here's an appointment you can't even make another date. Although God did do that for somebody in the Bible. Gave him 15 more years. But it said it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now look at Hebrews 10:31. 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you fear God? You ought to. I fear the devil. I do. I don't want to fight the devil. I don't want him messing with my kids. I don't want him messing with my family. I don't want him messing with my church, my friends, my body. I'm afraid to mess with the devil. I do my best to leave him alone. I just preach the word. Let me tell you something else. I'm afraid of God. You know why? Oh, it's not because I'm not his child. Oh, no, I'm his child. But my God spanks. I know modern society says, oh, that's bad, but my God spanks. I am so blessed. Are you blessed? I am blessed with this much health at 78 years old. I'm blessed to still be able to preach. I'm blessed to still enjoy all my family, my kids, and my grandkids, and my great-grandkids. I'm blessed. And you know what? I don't want to be on the wrong side of God. I don't want my lust to conceive and bring forth sin, and sin when it's finished to bring forth death, and that's exactly what it'll do. Oh, they say, well, you've been serving the Lord for all these years. Yeah, about 58 years I've been preaching this gospel. But you know something? I'm afraid to get on the wrong side of my God. Because what I know is he hates sin. And he's going to have to try to knock it out of me if I get myself in a mess. You cannot hide it from God. He knows everything. All you can do is repent. Amen. And I spent a life of repentance for 58 years since the day I got saved. I was repenting and I'm still repenting. I repent over my anger. I repent over my stupidity. I repent over my lust. I repent over my wants. I got a lot of things to repent over. Do you? Amen. Well, you better practice some repentance. Amen. Because it says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Wow. I don't want to fall into the hands of the living God in punishment. I don't want that. You know how God could hurt me? Hurt my children. Hurt my grandchildren. Hurt my great-grandchildren. Hey, don't mess with God. The very air you breathe is His will. You couldn't breathe another breath if He didn't allow you to. That heart, that's that faithful pump. Millions and millions of times it beats. And all it's got to do is stop for 1 minute and you're gone. I got little bitty blood vessels, little bitty, bitty blood vessels in your brain, and one of them pops, it's time to die. So many things can go wrong. So many things can bring you sadness. So many things you can lose. So many blessings you can lose. I'm afraid of God. Oh, I know He loves me, and I know I love Him. And I know He doesn't want to do anything to me that's bad. He wants me to walk in His will. He wants you to walk in His will. Don't get careless about how you think about God Almighty. Everybody says, oh, He just loves everybody. Yes, yes, He does. But does that mean He won't do the truth? Does that mean He won't settle things and make them straight? No. God Almighty is righteous. He's not only loving, but He's righteous. And He wants obedience out of His children, and you better be obedient or something's going to happen you won't like. I know some of you don't believe in God. There are people that believe they're going to walk up before God and tell the old man a thing or two. I've heard it said. Smart people. I'm so smart. I'm so brave. I'm not afraid of God. Well, then you're stupid. Just to be an unbeliever. Take a look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 12. John says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a voice. Great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars. Now out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is the best friend of Jesus his whole time on earth, John the Apostle. And he fell at his feet as dead. What do you think you're going to do? You're going to go up. You're going to be smart aleck. You're going to be up. I'm going to tell that old man thing. No, you won't. There won't be any breath left in you. All of your courage will just vanish away. Amen. If John, who is his most beloved disciple, falls at his feet as dead at this picture of the glorified Christ, wow, what do you think you're going to do? Amen. Go back into the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Look at these. You ought to mark this one on your Bible too. Some of you got unmarked Bibles. That means you don't read them very much, I think. I think you ought to do some marking. You ought to wear some pages out. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Boy, that's good advice. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know when that is? Today.
Amen.
He can be found today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Can he be found tomorrow? I don't know. Maybe not for you. Maybe not for anybody. You see, when the Lord comes back and takes the rapture, carries all his children out, bless your heart, it's a different ball game.
Amen.
Altogether different ball game. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to believe. You don't know what somebody's going to put off on you. Seek him while he may be found. That's exactly what God called me to do 58 years ago. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what it says in the end of Matthew. Read just the last few verses of the book of Matthew. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Let me tell you what the gospel is. It's that Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
He paid your debt. You can't pay for them without living an eternity in hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible is very clear on that.
Amen.
Jesus was clear on that. Hanging on the cross, that old thief said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There's a heaven and there's a hell. That's not a joke. That's not a medieval myth. That's what the Bible says. It's what Jesus said. Seek him while he may be found. If the Spirit of God touches your heart, don't say no. If you're drawn to bring repentance and faith and put faith in Christ Jesus, don't say no. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God taking the Word of God and inviting you. That's what it is. And if you're not saved, there's a time to die. When are you going to die? I have no idea. I know this. About 20 years ago, 210,000 people died every day. I'm assuming it's a lot more now that we've got 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Over 200,000 people are going to face God today. I think way over that amount. Every day. Are you ready? Well, you can get ready. Because God has provided a way to pay for your sins without you paying for them. And God has sent out hundreds of thousands of preachers of the gospel. We got preachers preaching on the street corners or by the bus stops. We got people going door to door, leaving gospel tracts and invitations to the church and invitations to get saved. It's going out over the radio. In fact, this right here is going all around the world. Wow. While he may be found, he can be found. He can be found. He can be found today. The angels would rejoice in heaven if you called upon the Lord today. He said, let the wicked. Do you know you're wicked?
Yes,
you sometimes think you're righteous. I've had a real problem sometimes in convincing people that they're sinners. I don't understand that. I knew I was a sinner. I didn't have any qualms about me not being a sinner. I knew that if I was going to get to heaven, I needed help. And what I was told was that if I'd call on the Lord, he'd help me.
Amen.
That if I repented of my sins, he'd save me. And he would forgive me.
Yes.
That was true.
Amen.
Changed my life.
Amen.
My friend said, you've got a bad case of religion. But it'll go away. Just give it a couple of weeks. That was 58 years ago.
Amen.
It hasn't gone away.
Amen.
It hasn't gone away. If I got a bad case of religion, it's still here. I'm still thanking God that He saved my soul. And I'm still trying to convince you to trust Him for yourself. I don't think I could do a bigger work. I may not be as successful as I would like to be. But I think I'd have to step down to become President of the United States. I don't think there's a more important work than being an ambassador of Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel to lost sinners. I don't think there's a more important work. Do you recognize that you need a Savior? Well, you're going to die. You'll need Him then. You'll need Him then when you die. You'll need Him. I don't know that you'll have time. Have you noticed the ad? I forget who they're for, but the ad's on television. It's been running for a while. Shows this fellow and he gets in his car and there's a sticker, a little note. Your heart attack will occur sometime this day. And then they tell you, heart attacks don't generally come with notices. They don't. They don't. You may not have an opportunity tomorrow. In fact, this might be the last sermon I ever preach. And it may be the last one you ever hear. Why don't you ask God to forgive your sins and save your soul? Why don't you believe God has provided for your salvation? Why don't you trust the Lord to do what His Bible says He will do? If you'll call upon the Lord in real repentance, sorry for your sin, asking for forgiveness, recognizing your sin, recognizing you're unholy, you're wicked. Jesus, even talking to the people, said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, you're evil. Why don't you call on the Lord and get saved? Today's the day. It's not tomorrow. It's not tonight. Right now. Now is the time. You have an appointment with death and you don't know when it's coming. Would you call upon the Lord? Let's sing number 235. In the red hymnal. Don't let the Spirit of God pass you by today. Take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Call upon Him. If you need some help, you want to come down here and pray, come down. This is your invitation.